Fantastic. And well done, you guys, for hanging in there through that trial and situation. We've heard that from Claire this morning as well. When we actually just continue to stand, God comes through in our lives. We don't understand all the reasons. Why didn't it sell 2 years ago? I tell you, but God's got bigger plans for us and our character. God's good. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. I want to do a message this morning on our purpose in life, and I want to use this particular passage. Some of you will know it immediately. We talk about it a fair bit, but I want to go into it a little bit more this morning. Joshua 24 verse 14 says this. This is the New Living Translation. Joshua 24 verse 14. He says this to the Israelite people, and Joshua at this point of his life is close to dying. And he's talking to the people like an elderly gentleman would, with authority, with that, you know, I've run this race, I know what I'm talking about. And, you know, it's that, you know, when you want to listen to the elder statesman, it's that kind of, yeah, look, I've served the Lord all my life. And so this morning, let's read it. So honor the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Okay. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Come on, let's say it together. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And some translations say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or whatever your variation is, it's similar. Now, what does that mean? Because I know I like the sound of it. We all like the sound of it. It makes us feel good saying it, doesn't it? Especially when we say it together. It's kind of like, oh, I like it. But what is Joshua teaching us? And if we look at what Joshua says to the people of Israel prior to this statement, we get a better understanding. See, he says this in this chapter previous to what I just read out. I took your ancestors Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates to Canaan, and I blessed them. I brought Moses and the people out of Egypt, and I freed them from slavery. They were now completely free from the captivity that they'd known for so many centuries. Free. And even when the Egyptians chased Israel and it looked like you were cornered, what did I do? I opened up the Red Sea, and you went through, and you saw everything that happened. I brought you into the land of the Amorites. There was a fight, but I gave you victory. I gave you victory over Jericho, and you didn't even have to use your bows, your arrows, nothing. I gave you victory. You see, wedged between, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord, and so honor the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly, Joshua is asking the people to make clear choices about their lives. Put away the idols, he says. If you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then at least be clear on what God you are going to serve. And he's saying to the Israelite people, you seem to think you are serving the Lord, but I can't see that so clearly. Now, he's got the authority to do this. He's been leading them for a long time now. Joshua was drawing the people to make right choices. Who'd like to make right choices? Who's made lots of bad choices in life? Who'd wish that they could take back the, you know, like back to the future, or, you know, and just start again? It would be so good, wouldn't it? But God, you know, we've just got to live with what we've got. And it seems to me that Israel was undecided in some areas of their lives, because he draws them to account. And the people answered Joshua saying, If you read a bit further down in the scripture, he says, and they say, no, we are determined to serve the Lord. Who here this morning says, no, I am determined to serve the Lord? Come on. Who's here this morning who says, no, I am determined to serve the Lord? I know you may think that, I know you may want to, you know, I've had those opportunities, but as for me and my house right now, we're going to serve the Lord. You know I do things wrong from time to time, but I'm going to use that opportunity or that situation to realize that I need to get closer to God rather than stray back further away from Him. Because as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Someone get excited for me this morning. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But I also want to nail this in your lives this morning as well, because Scripture, I want Scripture to speak to you. So it's okay. We can be serious as well as like have you know, because I believe that there's a war going on. And the war is about who we are in Jesus Christ and our war with this world and all the things that try and take over what God has us to do. And so where's this really serious this morning? And we're going to look at this scripture a little bit this morning, because there's so many things that can take away from us serving the Lord. There are so many things that we're busy in life that can take us away from serving the Lord. There is so much stuff, even with our children, or if you've got kids, or even if you're single, there's so many other things that can take us away from serving our God. So we need to be clear this morning if we're going to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. And so Joshua made them accountable to their decision, the Israelites. He says, right, well, I'm going to make you accountable. We'll look at that in a minute. Who's glad they're not living in the Old Testament? Anyway, see, I was asked by my family, I think I was about 15, 16, probably 16. And we're a good family. Christian family, used to go to a church north of the river. It was actually a small church back in those days. It would have been a big church, but more traditional, I guess, than this church, would be a good way of putting it. Great church, though. We're great friends there. Anyhow, so that's my short background. My mum, dad, brother, who's 2 years younger than me, he and myself, mum and dad says, we're going to holidays to Broome for 2 weeks. And I says, I'm not going. No 16-year-olds like that, are they? I said, no, I'm not going to go. I was stubborn, and they said, well, because you know, they decided to go without me. They said, well, we're not going to force you in the matter. Guess what happened? My brother had such an amazing time in Broome. And when you were 16 years of age, and he's been driving this mini moke all over, they've got pictures, they come back, you know. It was before, I don't know if it was before mobile phones, but it was a long time ago. And they're showing it, my brother Phil, in this mini moke, driving mum and dad around all these dirt tracks and all over the place. And he couldn't stop talking about it. And it wasn't just for that, like when they first come home, it was for like months afterwards they dropped something in. I made a decision that affected the well-being of my family, especially me. But I don't mean that just in who I am, is it? And there are decisions that we make that actually detract from what God wants to do in our lives. There are situations, there are things that God wants us to be connected in with, and people that He wants us to be connected in with. And when we make decisions that are contrary to God's best perfect will, was it the best thing for me to go on holidays? Would it have been better? Oh, come on, it would have been better than sitting home. I'm 16. I had to rely on friends to try and bring me up and get me. Well, I was home a lot alone. I had to cook for myself. My mum would make up and make me bacon and eggs every morning, and I'm home alone. My goodness, it was, you know. So I ended up working around the house. Things must have been bad. See, too easily we can forget the benefits of having great relationships with our Father, our Heavenly Father, and if we have a natural father. And if we haven't got a natural father, we have the family of God. See, there's joy, there's contentment, there's love, there's peace. Just to name a few that great relationships help. God has meant for us to relate with Him and with one another. And whether you serve the Lord or not is determined by the choices that you make. And let's look at this some more. The spiritual over the carnal. I couldn't think of any other words, so I've just gone with the old-fashioned sort of style. The spiritual over the carnal. What's the carnal? What's the carnal? Let's ask you, what's the carnal? You don't know. I didn't think you would. Pinch yourself. Did that hurt? It's the carnal. Flesh is flesh. Everyone pinch themselves. Anything that is in this world, I'm older than some of you guys. Anything that's in this world is what? It's decaying. It's dying. And yet we base a lot of our decisions on stuff that has no eternal value whatsoever. And so when Joshua is talking to the Israelites, he's saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve Him wholeheartedly. And he's looking at the Israelites and he's going, well, I'm not so sure. And if we were to talk to one another, we could go, well, I'm not so sure. Look at one another and go, I'm not so sure we do that well enough. If we're honest, right? There are so many things that get in the way of what God has for our lives. And so when we say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, are we? Because Joshua's referring, in fact, Jesus said it as well in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. I like carnal things. I like food. Anyone with me on that one? Man. I like my house. You know, let's not get too carried away here. We like stuff, right? I like my clothes. Not so fussed in summer. I could do without them, to be totally honest. Most men probably could. I'm happy with a pair of shorts and thongs. But in winter, I'm glad I got clothes on. And you are too. You see, this is an amazing story that Joshua mentions to the people of Israel before he makes this key statement, as for me and my house. And I want to refer back to one of the, he talks about a number of stories. And I just want to refer back to one of those, the two B's, Balak and Balaam. Balak was the Moabite king who felt threatened by Israel. And Joshua mentions it, and I was kind of like, why? You can go back the next page on your Bible, you see it talks about this. Balaam was a man who practiced divination, all right? He was a Hebrew. Now, when you read it, it's kind of like, is he for God or isn't he? Because and I think there's a picture there that sometimes we are for God and sometimes we aren't as His people. And God wants us to know where we stand this morning and who we really serve. And see, Balak was prepared to pay Balaam. Now remember, he wasn't a Hebrew, so he wasn't from God's family, although he knew the Lord. That becomes obvious as the story continues. And Balak was prepared to pay a lot of money to Balaam because this was his whole world, because he was practiced divination, to curse the Israelites, because suddenly he realized that he got up on top of a hill and there's Israelites camped for miles and miles and miles and miles, and he went in his heart, he thought, oh, this is not good. I'm going to have to do something about it. I know just the man. When you're the king, you can do that. And so he has a reputation, Balaam, of cursing, and when he cursed people, they were cursed. Who's glad they didn't know Balaam back in that day? And so he's called. I don't know how he called him, but they got together. And most commentaries mention, now this is interesting, that Balak started a war with Israel, even though there is no record of physical blows, no arrow shots. See, the true war we are facing is not on the surface. It is what is occurring under the surface. And if the devil can switch our priorities, if he weakens our resolve, and if we find it far more difficult to climb back to where we once were in relationship with God, because we can get sidetracked by other stuff. See, I missed out in my holiday story of quality time I would have had with my family by putting, because I just decided, well, I couldn't put my objections, or, you know, that I didn't really want to get along with them. It was too hard. I'm sure some of you got stories about your Christmas with the families, but we won't go there this morning. See, there were stories for months after they returned, as I was saying. You know, we're coming into our future, our building fund. We're going to see some of the stories. Avina has been asking people to do some videoing, I believe, in the next few weeks. You know, some of the stories that we know that God is for us. 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." See, the spiritual side of our lives is too important to push to one side. There are certain relationships God does not intend for us to continue with. There are other relationships that God wants us to continue with. It saddens me when people make decisions for the sake of money to remove themselves where God has placed them and their family can flourish. This is what Joshua was talking about, isn't he? "As for me and my house," come on. This is where the rubber meets the road. "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." As for me and my house. And so when we're saying that, it means, well, okay, if I'm going to go somewhere else, is there a great church where I'm going to be able to, or if not, has God really planted me here? Can God use me? Can God do things with me? Has he already started to use me in the house that he's planted me? And so there are questions that we must ask ourselves if we're really serious about "as for me and my house." Some of those decisions, as good as they may be and as seem to be logical, if they draw you, they're only temporal. See, I know other people in this church that have said no to the money and they're having a fantastic, happy, joyful life, and because at the end of the day, it's not about the money. It's about what we're doing in God and who the relationships that we form. Money is temporary, but God's will is eternal. And I am blessed to know some good men like that here. 2 Corinthians 10:5 goes on, "Casting down imaginations." I've been imagining myself in my new boat. Who has thoughts like me that they'd like to have this or that? And we all do, don't we? Come on. I don't know if it's because I'm having a midlife. I'm 50 this year. Is everything just like catching up on me? But, you know, I'm thinking, oh, maybe I should get a boat. And then I'll talk to one of my old mates, Dom. And I said to Dom this morning before church, because it's on my mind, I'm thinking, we could do this, could we? You know, does God want us to have some of that good stuff? That's okay, right? So we're not saying that, but we are saying, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." There's other times to go boating. I don't go on a Sunday morning. You'd work it out after a few weeks. Where's Nigel? See, God's desire is that we're captivated by him. Come on. Captivated. It means to submit to him in a way that makes him look thrilling. Oh, so when I see the worship team up here and they've been here since 8 a.m. in the morning, how do you think God feels about that? Does he think that way? I think he does. You know, when we decide that, you know, no matter what, I'm going to youth on Friday night, because as for me and my house, I know it's going to help me in my future. I'm going to help build the youth. See, we can get all these other things that can crowd into our world. But if we're serious about serving God wholeheartedly, then we know the decisions we need to make. Who'd like to make God look more thrilling this year? See, these good news stories are helping with that. Let's keep having good news stories. Let's get behind, even if you're a timid person. David's really good at helping you. David, our video man, and if you're not, Avina will help too. We can get other people, and let's, after church, get these good news stories. I'd love to hear this, even next Sunday, before the wedding, this good news story about these two. And Zizi, is it? Zaza. I want to hear the good news. Can we get that on video after church? Yes? Thanks, Gaydu. Awesome. All right. I could have done that or stayed at work late because there was something on, but I decided that Connect Group was important. The truth is, if we're going to serve the Lord, the decisions we make will often place the eternal over the temporal. Balaam had used his considerable power before to curse people. And on this occasion, he says to Balak, well, I can only do what the Lord my God asked me to do. Now remember, he's not known as a God follower as such. But God was on his case, because God, if he wants to, can get involved in anybody's life. So here's this diviner. We don't even have them anymore. Well, maybe down at the Fremantle Markets, I don't know. But we have these diviners and these... whoops. Take that off the tape, just in case I get in trouble. But we've got to be careful, right? We've got to be careful. The first crowd arrives from Balak's crew. They arrive and Balaam simply says, no point, God's woken me up in the night. I can't curse Israel. They go home. Balak, he'd already given them some money. So Balaam's in front at this stage. And then the next time around, he sends this big delegation with all the important people. And this time, Balaam thinks to himself, maybe I'll wait on God overnight. Stay with me. And something really interesting happens. And it's an interesting because he knew already. Balaam knew already what the Lord's will was. Is anyone like that? We already know what God's will is for our life. We already know the right thing to do, but we kind of just test God a little bit. Or maybe just stay overnight. Maybe just see if things might just change. Does God change his mind? He's not human. He doesn't change his mind. We change our mind. And so he sort of makes up, is the way I put it, that yes, I'll go with you tomorrow. So they go off, and he's on his favourite donkey that he's used for years, and he's on his, I don't know what donkeys do. Probably. Anyway, he's on his donkey, and click clock, whatever, right? And suddenly the donkey goes, veers off. He gets his whip out. What are you doing, donkey? And whips the donkey. He manages to get the donkey back onto the road. But just a few hundred meters up the road, the donkey does something bizarre. There's this grape vines and there's a wall between the vines and it's pretty tight, and the donkey goes, scrapes Balaam's leg all the way along the wall. Balaam's furious with his donkey. His donkey's now done something twice that he'd never done before. He gets his stick out. What does he do? Boof, boof. Anyhow, he manages to, you know, get back on his donkey and goes again, but another few hundred meters up the road, and suddenly the donkey just stops, collapses. He's on the ground. And Balaam's flew off the horse. It's a donkey. He's flown off the donkey. You know what it is. He's flown off the donkey. And he gets his whip this time, and he's on the, he's got the horse. The donkey's on the ground, and you know, donkeys don't, he's lying down, and he's got his whip, and he's going like this. Suddenly, the donkey looks at him and starts speaking to him and says, "Will you stop hitting me? Have I ever done this to you before? You've known me a long time." And he's going, and then he sees the angels of God, and he realizes there and then that he sinned. He realizes he's trying to go against the will of the Father of Heaven. He suddenly realizes, even though he's kind of between not sure of being a Christian or not, but it's a picture of our own life, that so many times we try and take a detour, or so many times we try and go off that way or this way, and God says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Who are you serving really when it comes down to it? Because some of the decisions that we make are really important. I'm so thrilled that I saw Ken Naylor's name down for baptism. Never too young to get baptized. How cool is that? I look at some of the other people that are going to get baptized and I think there's a commitment to say, you know what? I've known my life and where it is right now, but as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Something interesting happens. I'll finish with this. There's a lot more. Are you willing to serve the Lord? We've got to have commitment over convenience. Say it with me, commitment over convenience. Let me say it this way. God is too holy for your lifestyle. There is a cost in really serving the Lord. And we need to make decisions based on the commitment to the Lord and His Word rather than what's convenient or what options there are. What does it mean to serve God? It means to do what He says in a way that makes Him look supremely valuable in Himself. So no matter whether there's a great job over yonder, if my family's going to be stuck out of the middle of the nowhere, that's a definite no. If there's other things that, and I'm not talking about a school ball or something like that, but as parents, we've got to say, you know what? I don't know. I know that you probably don't want to go, but you need to go because it's better for you in the long run when there's things on. You see, God gives to us when we serve. When we serve God with all our hearts, we are constantly receiving from God. Who's going to put the spiritual over the carnal this year? Who's prepared to put God's will over man's will, over your will? Commitment over convenience. It's interesting that Balaam did the right thing three times. And he said in the end, "Balak, I can't curse them. I can't. I know that God's greater. He's over the people of Israel. I'm going to bless them." But Balaam had a quiet word a bit later on in Balak's ear. And it mentions it, Numbers 23. Because he was in two camps. He wanted to serve the Lord, but then on the other hand, the money was kind of good. And really, when it gets down to it, isn't that what it's all about? Pretty much. Well, one of those things is temporal. And a lot of the things we do in life, well, all of them, they're temporal. The scary thing was that there was lots of illegitimate births because of the decision that Balaam made by having a whisper in Balak's ear, and he knew how to get to the Israelite people, and the men started having relations with the Moabites. And they had illegitimate children, and for 10 years, some of the decisions we make affect generation after generation after generation. And so there are choices that we make. They make all the difference in the world. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says this, I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Can we keep loving Jesus? Can we keep loving God today? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Out in the foyer, you can go to the information desk and fill in one of these forms. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. As a family, why don't you make that commitment today? I'm sure kids' church could do with some young helpers. I mean, whatever the area is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's make that commitment this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Let's pray this morning. Raise our hands if you want to for a second. Thank you, Jesus. We can say the right things. We can do the right things for a while. But we can also mix up our walk. Today, let's commit together to serve the Lord. Father, I pray that every person here, Lord, we would consider situations in our life. We would consider areas in our life. And when we have to make a decision, Father, I pray we would listen to the word of God over those things that are temporal, over those things that in the end don't have eternal value. Help us to make the right decisions in Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. If you'd like prayer this morning, we're going to keep the front open. But otherwise, have a good day. There's a kids' church leaders' meeting. There's a new people's morning tea at 11:45 in this room just here outside the doors. God bless.